This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Wednesday, the 17th of June, 2026, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Markets are mixed this morning, with Wall Street weaker at the latest close, while Europe and Japan are showing a bit more resilience. As of the latest check, the S&P 500 fell 0.6% and the Nasdaq lost 1.9% to leave U.S. equities on the back foot. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 is up 0.1% while Switzerland's SMI is flat. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 is up 0.7%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.161 US dollars, while 1 US dollar buys 0.79 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4.43%, down 1 basis point. Brent crude is down 0.4% at $79 a barrel, while gold is up 0.2% at $4,339 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. To start with, how are investors approaching this Fed meeting?
Hi, Daniel. Good place to start. So while emerging details of the U.S.-Iran peace deal have sent oil prices to their lowest level since early March, investor sentiment still looks fragile ahead of the U.S. Open on Wednesday as markets wait for the conclusion of the first Federal Open Market Committee meeting chaired by Kevin Warsh. The S&P 500 fell 0.6% on Tuesday, and the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield held around 4.43%. The U.S. Central Bank is widely expected to leave the federal funds rate unchanged at 3.5 to 3.75% for a fourth straight meeting, against a backdrop of rising inflation and a stable unemployment rate. But because market expectations for the Fed's policy outlook have shifted since the last FOMC meeting, investors will be looking for clues from Warsh's press briefing and the Fed's economic projections on the policy path ahead.
Picking up on that, what will markets want to hear from Kevin Warsh on inflation?
Right, and that's one of the key questions. Warsh will likely need to walk a tightrope between different measures of inflation. At his confirmation hearing in April, he emphasized the need for what he called a regime change in monetary policy that would alter how inflation is measured and interpreted. He said policymakers should place more weight on median and trend-based inflation measures rather than relying mainly on core PCE. Given his previously more dovish stance, markets will be assessing how he bridges the ongoing divergence across underlying inflation indicators, how he expects inflation to evolve, and how he communicates with markets as Fed chair will also be important. Overall, we expect a more hawkish tone from this meeting, with the easing bias likely removed from the post-meeting statement.
And what are you expecting from the dot plot and the broader policy path?
Well, another hawkish element is likely to come from the dot plot, which records each Fed official's projection for the policy rate. Relative to March, we expect this month's dot plot to shift toward a no-cut median projection for 2026, with multiple participants revising their rate forecasts higher. Even so, we still expect the policy rate to move toward a 3 to 3.25% range over time because softer growth conditions in the second half of this year and moderating price pressures should allow the U.S. Central Bank to make policy less restrictive.
Thanks. And could the Fed's bond holdings also become part of the discussion?
That's right, and they may well come into the spotlight. Warsh has flagged his view that the Fed's bond holdings should be reduced, arguing that policy rate adjustments are more effective in influencing the broader economy, while balance sheet policy mainly affects financial asset prices. He may repeat his preference for a smaller role for the Fed's balance sheet, but guidance on the optimal size of that balance sheet and on the timing of any future changes is still uncertain. Any such move is also unlikely without changes to banking regulations, and that is an important limiting factor that rarely moves quickly.
So given all of that, how should investors think about positioning?
Absolutely. Even if this meeting leans hawkish, we still think the hurdle for rate hikes remains high. Favorable base effects should lead to a marked improvement in headline inflation in early 2027. And the potential risk of labor market displacement from AI could shift the Fed's focus back toward downside risks to labor and growth. With markets still overestimating the extent of Fed tightening, we continue to see an attractive risk-return profile in short and medium maturity quality bonds.
Great. Thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. More details have emerged on the US-Iran deal. According to a Bloomberg report citing a final draft of the agreement, the US and Iran would work to ensure that traffic through the Strait of Hormuz returns to its pre-war level within 30 days after a peace agreement is signed in Switzerland on Friday. Neither side has officially released the text, but Bloomberg says the US has already begun circulating it with allied nations at the G7 summit in France. Under the draft terms, the US Treasury would issue waivers for exports of Iranian crude oil, petrochemical products, and their derivatives immediately after the memorandum is signed. The US and its regional partners would also create a plan to rehabilitate Iran with financing of at least $300 billion. The draft also says Iran's frozen assets will be released and made fully available, although no timeline has been given. In return, Iran would have to commit to never acquiring a nuclear weapon, to neutralize its enriched material, and to allow free navigation in the strait, according to a US official cited by Bloomberg. Brent crude was trading below $78.5 a barrel at the time of writing, which was its lowest level since early March. Our view is that the precise language of the deal and the way it is ultimately implemented still remain to be seen. But the drop in oil prices does reflect market optimism around a normalization of energy flows through the Strait of Hormuz. If the deal is sustained, it should allow investors to focus more on the backdrop of resilient economic growth, strong earnings, and AI investment, which we think should continue to drive global stocks higher. We therefore maintain our view that investors should stay positioned for long-term stock gains while managing risks with a diversified portfolio across asset classes, geographies, and sectors. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copy circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.